Job 2 verse 3 contains a statement that I think is a key to understanding a lot of what's going on in Job. God says to the Satan, "You are moving me to destroy him without cause." God did not see any cause for Job's suffering in the sense that he's saying that Job has not done anything wrong. Job 1 verse 1 says that that man was perfect. That is in God's estimation. So he's saying, look, I am not punishing Job. He's done nothing wrong, and you're trying to get me to destroy him or to bring all this affliction into his life without cause. God does not then say, "And therefore I shall not do it." He just says, you're getting me to do this without cause, in the sense that Job had not, in God's judgment, done anything wrong. And yet God does it. And yet he says to the Satan, this is without cause. So straight away, you're introduced to what is a key issue to remember for all there is to now follow in the book, that suffering can be without cause in the sense that it's not simply so that suffering only comes in response to human sin or as punishment. This is an invaluable angle and window onto suffering, that it is not simply because we have sinned or because God is punishing us. This is the understanding that is held right across most religions in one form or another, including some, in my opinion, mistaken versions of Christianity. This is not the case. And the one true God and his word give a different perspective on this. It's not, for example, that Jesus was punished in some way for, I don't know, being human or having human nature or anything like that. There were other reasons why the Lord Jesus, who was absolutely perfect, suffered. So we also, who are not the Lord Jesus, but who may at times be like Job, we also can suffer without cause, in the sense that it's not a response to our mistakes, our bad judgments, our sins. There are other reasons. So you say, well, why then did God allow this to happen? Well, he allowed it to happen because the Satan, which it seems to me, morphs into the friends and has exactly the same reasoning as the friends and is, in my opinion, a device representing them, the Satan or the friends want it to happen because they need to learn. And so God says, okay. So Job, in that sense, starts the book reckoned by God to be perfect, and he finishes the book as God wishes to see him as perfect. He says to them, to the friends, "You've not spoken about me, the thing that is right, as my servant Job has." Well, all right, that might be imputed righteousness, but that is how God saw it. So then suffering does not necessarily cause improvement in you. That may be a reason for some suffering, and that may be an outcome of some suffering. But there is other suffering that, in my opinion, well, as in this case here, in Job, does not in that sense improve you. Why then is it? Well, in this case, it was for the sake of the salvation of others. In this case, in my opinion, the friends. The education, or more than education, ultimately their salvation. And I think that that, of course, is why Jesus suffered. He suffered for our sins. And I think you have to read in the ellipsis there. He suffered for the redemption of our sins, for our salvation from our sins. So there is built into us, I think, from very early childhood, an interest in justice and injustice. We get outraged at injustice. And children are a great example of this. From early childhood, the idea of that's not fair is a major issue. And very often we have to observe as adults that, well, that outrage at injustice is because you don't see a wider context. You do not see a wider narrative. And yet we are wrong to think that as you grow up and become an adult, then everything makes sense. It doesn't. There will still be a what I would call a misguided outrage at injustice because you are not seeing the wider context. Of course, you think that reality is, in fact, as broad as your horizons and there's nothing beyond it. As Job comes to realize, what little a portion is heard of him. We only see a very small part of the whole horizon. We do not see the entire context, and therefore a lot of our outrage at injustice is misplaced, or is out of context, and we would see it otherwise. This is not to say that injustice is okay and that we should be fine with injustice within our limited horizons, but when it comes to the issue of personal suffering, I do think that we have to see that we don't see everything, and that one of the joys of God's kingdom is that then we shall understand, and then we shall see the wider context. And one of the reasons for this whole problem of suffering, it seems to me, is to test our humility. Are you humble enough to realize that you are simply not seeing a wider picture because you cannot in this life see it? Therefore, your outrage at injustice is, as I say, misplaced. I cannot say wrong, but you are not seeing the entire perspective, and therefore you're practicing to some degree kind of misplaced ideals. So, suffering can come without cause, and this is the very phrase used in Isaiah 52 about the suffering servant, who is based upon Job and yet looks forward to the Lord Jesus, who also suffered without cause. And of course, we can consider that we are suffering without cause. Judah thought this, and Ezekiel has to remind them when they were on about we're suffering unjustly for the sins of other people. He has to tell them that Judah's sufferings had not been without cause. And again, it's the same phrase there in Ezekiel 14:23. And this is, I think, to put it all in context, that the Lord Jesus likewise suffered without cause. And in the end, the issue of, but I don't understand why I'm suffering, therefore it's unfair, it's unjust, comes to, I think, its answer to some degree, as so many things do, in the cross of the Lord Jesus, that there he suffered. The just, as Peter says, for the unjust. The just for the unjust. He suffered without cause. Now, Job was still human and was a sinner, although God chose to see him very positively. Whereas the Lord Jesus really did not. And in this, of course, Job looks forward to the suffering servant of Isaiah that looks forward to the Lord Jesus. So there in his death, we see not justice as we would think it should be done, but it was actually because of that injustice, the grossest cosmic injustice of all, in a sense, that Jesus was crucified as a sinner when he was perfect, that injustice is actually our salvation. Now, I'm sorry if I've appeared rather philosophical in all this, but issues of injustice drive people to destruction, and it drives a lot of people away from basic faith in God. This is where this whole thing about Job suffering without cause and looking forward to the Lord Jesus suffering without cause, the just for the unjust, in what could be seen from whatever angle you wish to look at it, the whole issue of the sufferings of Job and above all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross could all be seen as a travesty of justice. And indeed, it sort of was. You know, you read the records of the Lord's trial and all that stuff at the hands of the Jews. It was all a total travesty of justice from start to finish. And that impression is intentional. But it is through his suffering of injustice, and if you like, the total backfiring of the human views of justice, that we, the unjust, and we are all unjust, are saved. Now, if you don't think that you are unjust, well, you wouldn't need the just to suffer for you as the unjust, because you consider, therefore, that you're right and righteous. And this is the whole point, that we are not in our own strength. And so all our outrage at other people's injustice, well, you also are unjust. And ultimately, the great paradox of it all is that we are saved through the injustice meted out to the Lord Jesus, who, like Job, suffered without a cause.